So I'm here in Mannheim, Germany, with our friend Harald Sangoro, initially from Pittsburgh, and my new friend Ute from the Mannheim Sangha. This is only a rehearsal for the German Sangha, because tomorrow we'll have a day of mindfulness here. Thank you everybody for being here with me. It is 6 in the afternoon here, and this morning I was up at 5 and took the train from Plum Village to all the way to Mannheim. I was in Plum Village for a full week, and for the ordination. So the good news is our sister Lily from Montreal, and our sister Finu has received a lamb from Thai. So we have two new lambs in Montreal. That was wonderful. And Thai is in excellent health. He is so happy, and so is Sister Chung Kho. So everybody here is well. And it was such a wonderful event. We met many friends from America also, who were there to support their Sangha, also receiving the lamb. So today we are on our regular monthly talk, and today's talk will be on the theme of love according to the Buddhist teaching. And the love according to the Buddhist teaching is a theme that I think is an never-ending theme, because while I was reflecting on love, I really believe, I really think that it is the heart of our practice, and it is, for me, the result of the practice that I can see. The more we practice, and the more love seems to be easier, and love according to the Buddhist teaching meaning, again for me, love that is born out of understanding. The more I find other, the objective of our practice and the result of our practice and the mean of our practice are all contained in that that word, that wonderful word, love. If you you allow me, because I know that I'm speaking to friends who are of different experience in Buddhism, but love, according to this teaching, contain the four aspects that we know, and that is Maitri, Karuna, Mudita, and Upeksha. Maitri is the translated into loving kindness, and it is the ability that we have to bring joy and happiness to the person that we love. I like to remember when we recite the sutra and we say to bring joy to somebody in the morning and to ease the pain of somebody in the afternoon. That are the two first component, are the first two aspect of love, Maitri and Karuna. And the third one is Mudita, the true joy. And if there is no joy in our love, we cannot say that it is love according to the Buddhist teaching. And the fourth one is upeksha. So the fourth aspect of love, according to the Buddhist teaching, is upeksha. And the translation sometimes is equanimity. But I'm not sure that it is the best translation. And if we look at the love to a person, it may mean freedom. And in some other instances, it may mean non-discrimination. So the fourth aspect of love, according to the Buddhist teaching, Maitri, the loving kindness, the ability to bring joy and happiness to the person that we love, Karuna, compassion, the ability to ease the pain of somebody, the person we love, Mudita is the true joy, and in our relationship, in our love, there is that joy, and that's what makes it, and that is one essential condition to make it truly love. And the fourth one is to that the person that we love feels free. How is it that, I remember Thay mentioning to us when he was teaching us about the four Brahma Vihara, that if we look at our love and we do not see the four aspects of love according to that definition, we may fall into the love that is not the healing, or that is not the love that does not bring suffering. Any, or if there's an element that is missing from those, one of the four elements is missing, it is not the full love that we want to learn in this practice, or in with our practice. Thay also teach us how to practice love in our tradition, and he taught us the four mantra of love. So you remember that the first one is to be there, and the first mantra of love that Thay has taught us is, I'm here for you. I am here for you, and I really am here for you. He, when Thay taught that mantra, he also mentioned, if you are not there, how can you love? And so the presence, our presence to the one we are telling it to, whether it be our partner or the object of our observation when we are there, is I'm here for you. And I'm here for you is the practice that we can do with our practice of mindfulness, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, and bringing our body and our mind together in order to truly be present, body and mind together, in order to be able to be at our full best, in order to be able to appreciate the person we are saying it to. So I am here for you is the first condition for love to be possible, is to manifest our true presence in order to be there for the other one. And in the cartoon, sometimes we see a married couple for a period of time having breakfast together, and the husband reading the newspaper, and the newspaper is between him and his wife. That is the type of cartoon that it makes me remember when I am thinking of this art, saying this first mantra. And this first mantra is the first miracle of mindfulness, is to bring back our body and our mind together to be fully there in order to be present for the one that we love. The second mantra that Thay has taught us is to recognize the presence of the other person. I know that you are there, and it makes me very happy. It is not possible to recognize the presence of the other if we are not there. And in my life, in my daily life, I also find myself being caught in that really much too often. But in the morning, any time when I have to do something, when I have to get out of the house, my children can be there, my wife can be there, but I don't see them. And I'm so caught with everything in my head that it could be as if they were not there. And I still remember one of the teaching from my daughter when she was 5-6 years old, and I'm not sure who taught her that, but one day I was rushing out to work, and she called me, and she called me back, and I was a little bit annoyed, because it's like I had to stop and turn back to acknowledge, to respond to her, and she ran out to the door and jumped on and hugged me. And when she was hugging me, she also said, "I wanted to hug you because I don't know if you will be back tonight or not." So I'm not sure if it was Sister Cheng Hong who taught her that, or if it was my wife or my mother. But it really hit hard for me. And the first and the second mantra are the mantra I also remember when I when I practice the morning gata. So when I practice the morning gata, and I say, waking up this morning, I smile to greet 24 brand new hours. May I live them in perfect mindfulness. And to live them in perfect mindfulness means that in any occasion, I should remember to practice those two mantras. I'm here for you. I am here for you, and the you can be the person who happened to be there. Or you can be whatever is happening there. It does not need to be a person. It does not have to be a person. It only means that I am here for you. I am here for myself. I'm here for life. I'm here for the life and the miracles that I have made. And that is the meaning of the first mantra for me. I'm here for life that is happening. I'm breathing and I know that I'm alive. And when I'm breathing and I know that I'm alive, I feel full. I feel whole. I feel entire. I feel myself. And when I'm there and I'm with me, myself, in the present moment, everything that is around me becomes real. So if it happened to be my daughter, if it happened to be my wife, then they become real and they they make me happy because I see them there as their true self, as their wonder self, as my condition for my happiness and for my life. Not only the people that we love, but everything that are happening around us, all the miracles that are happening around us, cannot be, if we cannot be there, and we can, then we cannot know that they are there, and it could be as if they do not exist. So, whether it be the loved one, or the flowers, or the sunset, or the full moon, all the miracles that are continuously surrounding us would be as if they did not exist, and we would miss what I call our appointment with life. So when we practice breathe, you are alive, when we practice breathing in, breathing out, coming back to the present moment, knowing that this is the best moment, we become one, and everything that is happening around us become real, and we see all the miracles that are happening in that present moment. So I know that you are there, can be the person that we love. And when we see that she is, he is really there, then we, it cannot not make us very happy. And if we do not know how to do that, Thay also have taught us a lesson on impermanence and on the preciousness of the love one, is to just imagine that that person is not there anymore. If something would happen to that person and she would not be able to be with us anymore, how suffering we would have, how much suffering we would have, and just thinking of the suffering we would have if anything was to happen to her will make us very happy to see that she is still there, whole, in good health, and available for us to enjoy, to love.
Brother Chanwi, this, Brother Noam bowing in.
Yes.
The volume went a little bit lower in the last minute, and some of the Sangha here is having trouble hearing. It was very good before, but just very recently it went down a little bit. Brother Noam bowing in.
Okay, is this better?
Yes. Okay. Little bit.
No. Do you need more?
Yes, this is good.
Can we have more?
This is good.
Okay, yeah. One more? One more? No, sorry, wait. So the two mantra of love, the first one is, I am here for you. I really am here for you. That is the first teaching, and that is the first miracle that we achieve when we are practicing mindful breathing. The second one, because we are there, we can be present, and we can see and acknowledge everything that is around us, the person we love that is still there, who is still alive, and who is still there for us, with us, and it is something that should, that makes me very happy. Those are the two we use those two mantra when we are also when we are practicing hugging meditation. So when we are practicing hugging meditation, the first thing that we are doing is we restore our full presence by practicing the first mantra. We breathe in, breathe out. We bring our body and our mind together in order to be fully there. And we can say, inside of us, I am here for you. We look at the other person, we bow to her, to him, and we recite the second mantra. I know that you are there, and it makes me very happy. And the other person we are practicing with is doing exactly the same thing. He or she is practicing with the first mantra, restoring the, her his full presence, and acknowledging our presence. I know that you are there, and it makes me very happy. And those two mantra for me have been my practice following the practice of the waking up gata. Waking up this morning as mine to greet 24 brand new hours. May I live them in perfect, may I live them in mindfulness and look at all beings with the eyes of compassion. Because I am here, because I am mindful, I am alive, I am present, and because I am alive and present, I can acknowledge, I can be there for the presence of my loved one. And because I know how much the people I love would be unhappy and would be suffering if I were to not be present, and that is why I want to fully manifest my presence in order to fully appreciate the presence of the other. And when we can practice that with a lover, that is a practice that we can do in order to allow us to be also present, not only for that one miracle, but also for all the other miracles that are constantly happening. And all the miracles that are happening around us in our daily life are always there. But if we are not there, if we have not practiced the first mantra of love, we cannot be in a position to be able to practice the second mantra. And it would be as if those miracles did not exist. And it would be such a waste, and it would be so ungrateful. And those two mantra are my practice, and are the practice of happiness, and are the practice of love. The practice of love for the other one, and more importantly, the practice of love to myself. Because it is by acknowledging all the preciousness, all the miracles that are happening, all the elements that are so wonderful, that are so nourishing and healing, and nourishing myself with that joy that only my full presence can allow me to be with. So the practice of the first and the second mantra can be practiced with the person we love, with our lover. That capacity will give us, or will that will increase our capacity to be more present to all the other miracles, not only the miracle of the love person, but also all the other miracles that are constantly happening. The third mantra is, yes?
Brother Chanwi, this is Brother Noam. The volume, it got better and then a little bit worse again. And I got some chats from some of the other sanghas that The volume was going up and down. But when you first corrected it, it sounded extremely well. It lasted a couple minutes, and then it went down again a little bit.
So I just push it up again?
Yes, that is much better. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm continuing on with the third mantra. The third mantra is, I know that you are suffering, and that is why I'm here for you. When we are mindful, when we are practicing the first and the second mantra, and we are there, and we look at the person that we love, we will know that she's happy, but we will also know that when she's suffering, when he's suffering. And it is when he or she is suffering that she and he most need our full presence. I don't know how you feel, but I know that when I am in pain and I'm suffering, and the person that I love acknowledge and know that I'm suffering, just that knowledge, just that feeling that the person that I love understand my suffering, know that I'm suffering and is sharing my suffering, is already a very big relief. And so that third mantra is something that is more difficult for me to practice. And I wish that I could be better in being able to know when my wife is not in her best and is not happy. So if I can be as mindful as I should, and when I'm mindful, I can be there to know what is going on. And it is only then that I can notice that the person I look at, the person I'm with, or the person I love is suffering. And when I see, and if I can see, and if I let her know that I know, let her know that I know that she's suffering, it will be a great relief for her, as I know that it is when I'm suffering, and she knows, and she acknowledges, and she understands. So the miracle of our presence, when the other one is happy, in order for us to be able to nourish ourselves with that presence, to offer our presence when the other one is suffering, the practice of love that we need in order to be able to help one another. The fourth mantra is what is a more difficult one, and it is about pride, overcoming our pride, and to go when we are suffering, to go and request or ask for the help of the other person. So the fourth mantra, I am suffering, please help me. Is the fourth mantra, and it is not the most easy. And I think that it is not easy to practice, because when we are caught in anger, when we think that the person that we love has done or said things that make us suffer, the last thing that we want to admit is that we are suffering. To ask for help is even more difficult. And in Thai teaching, we often talk about the Lady of Nam Siu, which is a story from Vietnam. And it's the story of a Vietnamese lady who was pregnant, and her husband was going to war. And in Vietnam during that time, when you go to war, you go for many years. It's not like the army here where you just go for 3 months and you come back for 10 days and back 3 months. But that man had to leave his present wife for 3 years. And when he came back, she was so happy. She greeted him at the entrance of the village with their son. And so they all came back to the house, and she said, okay, it has been a very long time, so I will leave you with our son. And so that you both can get to know one another better. And I'll go to the market to buy things to do a festival. Well, it's not a real festival, but in our tradition, when there are important things happening, we want to share it with our ancestors, and we would cook special meal and offer to the ancestors in order to share them the goodness. So she went to the market, and while he was home with the son, he wanted to get to know him, and he said, come here, my son, I want to hug you. I miss you so much, and etc. But the son, because that man for him is a stranger, he just say, no, you are not my daddy. My daddy is somebody else. My daddy comes here only at night, and he is very close to my mother. And when my mother sits, he sits. When my mother lie down, he lie down. And she speak to him, and sometimes she cries. And that's my daddy, but you are not my daddy. So when the man heard that, he completely froze, because was very, very deceived and angry, and I don't know how to describe the feeling that he may have felt, thinking that his wife had somebody else while he was away. So when she went home, and after she has cooked the meal and put on the altar, he went to the altar and presented himself and bowed to the altar, but did not allow his wife to do that. He just rolled the mat away and did not allow her to prostrate to the altar and to present herself to the ancestors, because he feel that she doesn't deserve it. And she didn't say anything, but just went out to town and came back very late that night, and did not speak for his wife with his wife for days. So after a while, the lady could not understand why her husband was behaving in such a way, and got so desperate that she threw herself into the river and took her life. And that night, with the wife drowned, the father and the son were together, and all of a sudden, the son started to say, hey, there's my daddy, and he showed the shadow of the man on the wall. Yeah, there's my daddy. Look, he's there. He has come back. And that's when the man understood that what his son thought to be the daddy was the shadow on the wall. He understood that, well, it was much too late, because the wife had already died. So I'm sorry, I don't think that I'm a very good storyteller, if you understood that. And the Thai used that story in order to illustrate that because the husband thought that his wife had another person and was so angry but did not ask her out of pride. He could have asked her, our son said that, why did he say that? And the wife also was not very any better, because she could have also asked him instead of drowning herself. But that story is Thai's story to illustrate how misperception can destroy an entire family. And if there could have been communication, if any of them could have overcome his or her pride and asked the other person, then that tragedy would not have happened. And when Thai taught that story, he also remind us of another practice. It's the practice of asking ourselves, are you sure? If we think of something, is to check back, and in this case, the best person to check it with would have been the person that we think is the one who is making us suffer. So I am suffering, please help, is the fourth mantra of love that I have taught us to practice. This year, Thai has invented the fifth mantra, and the fifth mantra has been also our practice together. It is a very simple and very easy one to practice. This is a happy moment. So the fifth mantra, this is a happy moment. And it cannot be a happy moment if we have not practiced the four other ones. And once, and if we have practiced the four other ones, then the fifth one would be just a natural, very easy one to practice, that this is a happy moment. And when we cannot say that this is a happy moment, then we may need to see where or what is missing in our practice so that we can fix it, and so that it can be, so that be again another a happy moment. So those are the two aspects of love that and the practice that I wanted to share with you today. The first one, the first is about the four aspects of love, which are my three: loving kindness, karuna, compassion, mudita, the joy, and the upeksha. The four aspects of true love, the four aspects of love according to the Buddhist teaching. The four mantra of love that Thay has offered us for our practice. I am here for you is the first one. Offering our true presence, our full presence, body and mind together, to the person we love. There's another story that Thay has taught us when he taught this this mantra, and it's about a boy, a young boy, and his father asked him, what would you like to have this year for your birthday? And the boy just answer, I want you to be there, because the father is a rich man, and he could offer anything, any toy, every toy to the son. But he was not there often enough for his son, and that's what his son has requested from him. So it's good that he has asked the question, and it's good that the son has given that answer. So who is your son? What do you see as being your son? And have your son ask you that question? And if he asked you that question, what would have been your answer? The second one, I know that you are there, and it makes me very happy. In order to know that you are there, I have to be here. And I am here because I know how to breathe in and breathe out. I breathe in and breathe out and come back to restore my full presence. I know that you are there. I know that you are there, and it makes me very happy. It makes me very happy because I am mindful, because I am aware, because I know. I know that if you are not there, I cannot be happy anymore. And because I know that you are there, I can be happy. The third mantra, I know that you are suffering. And because you are suffering, you need my presence. And because you need my presence, because you are suffering, I am here for you. So the third mantra, I know that you are suffering. That is why I am here for you. And your presence, our presence to the person that we love when she's suffering, when he's suffering, is a gift, is a miracle that can transform the suffering just by our own presence. Overcoming pride and suffering is hell. All perceptions are wrong perceptions. Perception is what makes our world, our reality. And because our perception is our reality, they make us suffer. But if we remember that perceptions are what they are, perceptions, which means that they are wrong, and if we remember that, and we remember the practice of checking it again, we will see again and again that our perception has been wrong, and that there was no real cause for our suffering. And because we are not practicing alone, the checking, the easy checking to do is to check with the other person, the person that we think is the cause of our suffering. And once we have practiced all those four mantras, the fifth mantra that Thay has taught us recently, this is the happy moment, and every moment is a happy moment. And what is a happy life? A happy life is a life that is made of many happy moments. And I'm wishing you many happy moments. I'm wishing you that every moment in your life will be happy moments, and so that we are all a happy Sangha together. And with this, I will close this talk with my thank to you for being there, and it makes me very, very happy to feel your presence from so far away. Thank you. Thank you so much again. Brother Noah.
Yes, Brother Chanwee. from here.
How do you want us to close this talk?
Maybe we can ring a bell here in Austin, and then after that, the Sanghas can sign off. Does that sound good?
Yes, that does sound very good.
Okay.
Yes. So.
Okay, we'll ring the bell from here. Okay, this is Brother Noam signing off, and if the other Sanghas want to sign off as well, that would be great. Brother Chanwi, thank you very much for the wonderful talk today. This is the Austin Sangha bowing out.
Thank you, Chanwi.
Loka Sangha. This is the Hari Loka Sangha signing out. There's seven of us. Thank you very much, Brother Chinwe.
This is the Pittsburgh Sangha saying hello to Harald and bowing out.
This is Sangha Arana. Thank you, Chinwe, for bowing out.
This is the Beginner's Mind Sangha saying thank you, Chanwi, and all, and bowing out.
This is the Heartland Community of Mindful Living in Kansas City, Missouri, signing out.
Ici Raymond, au Québec. Merci beaucoup, Chanwi. Au plaisir de vous voir bientôt à Montréal. Raymond, bowing out.
And this is Brother Noam. I'm going to bow out on behalf of the Sangha in Miami. Thank you, everybody.
Okay.